We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, that's Jesus, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Jesus, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, and may I add one word, all according to his own will, because there are some teachers that would tell us he only gave it where it was his will, you know, as though it wasn't his will that all men repent or that everybody can have the Holy Ghost. I thought the Bible said the promise is unto you and to your children and all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So it is his will. There's a lot of things that are his will that we pray, oh Lord, if it's your will, save my lost neighbor. He's going to hell. He's on his way to the lake of fire. If it's your will, Lord, save him. You don't have to pray that way. It is God's will to save him. God is not willing that any should be lost, but that all should come to repentance. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedst him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus. How many think they understand that now? But we see Jesus. Good. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Those first four words, for it became him, are very important, because some people, unbelievers basically, have criticized God for being a sadist. A sadist is someone who loves to see somebody else suffer. And God sent his son. The big chicken didn't come himself. He sent somebody else to go. That's the way people have talked to me. Yes. Very definitely. In fact, I've even got some of that in print, I'm sure. And so you have to understand this. For it became him to send his son to suffer death for us. God is not a sadist. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Those are antonyms. Those are extreme opposites. Sadistic and love. God's not a sadist. He loved the world. He loved the world so much. And in ABI, they have printing, beautiful printing on the wall. On this side it says, God did not send someone else. He came himself. Now the Bible says God sent his son, God sent his son over and over again. What does that mean? Well, you and I that understand the Godhead know exactly what it means. It means that God was manifest in flesh. It means that God veiled himself in human flesh. It means that God became a man and visited this earth. He entered this earth through birth, and he departed this earth through death. But he is alive today. Praise the Lord and forevermore. So when it says it became him, you have to understand what that means. That means it's God's loving nature. It's God's overwhelming nature. It's God's compassion for humanity. It became God to do what he did. He could have just let it all go and never came in flesh. That's why there's no salvation unless you confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Because without the incarnation, there is no salvation. And I have a difficult time discussing, I almost said debating, the Godhead with a Trinitarian who does not understand the plan of salvation. I have a difficult time discussing the Godhead with oneness people who don't understand the plan of salvation. Because apart from the plan of salvation, there is no way to adequately, properly understand the Godhead. Can you understand what I'm saying? There is no need for a flesh man, a flesh God, to come and die in our stead if there's no plan of salvation. That's why he became a person. That's why he became a man, that he might die. It says that here. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. He entered the human race that he might die, take our sins in his pure body to the cross of Calvary, die. And that's the end of our sins. Hallelujah. Amen. What a plan. That's the mighty plan of salvation. You wouldn't need Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. In the beginning, God. It doesn't say in the beginning, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created man. Let us make man in our image. God created them, male and female. And then man fell. And then the plan. Then the plan. Out of enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. They call that the Protevangelium in Latin, and it means the first gospel. Genesis 3:15. And so then we have the rest of the scripture from there on telling us prophetically about this man, this Messiah, who is going to come and redeem a fallen human race. That's what the Godhead's all about. That's what salvation's all about. That's what we have to understand if we're going to understand these first four words in Hebrews 2:10. For it became him. That was his nature. He could have sat up there on the throne and just with a big club in his hand, and as soon as Cain killed Abel, just pop him, knock his head off. Right there. He could have. He could have done that. He could have done that and just let life go on, but he didn't do that. Said, I love them. I love them. And he came to die for us. Praise the Lord. For it became him. It was his nature to love, even to die. He loved so much. For whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. And we start the lesson today with verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death, no other way to say this. I've preached that over and over in this church, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. The word succor there means help, assist, and so on. Verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. First of all, who is he that sanctifieth? It is Jesus. Jesus is the sanctifier. He is the one who sanctifies. Proof, Ephesians 5, verses 25 and 26. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with a washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. For both he that sanctifieth, Jesus is he that sanctifieth. Hebrews 3:13-12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. So if I ask this question on a test, who is he that sanctifieth? Jesus. Proof, Ephesians 5, Hebrews 13. Both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified. Who are they who are sanctified? That's you. That's me. We have been sanctified. That word sanctified means to set apart as holy. You and I have been taken out of the world, translated into the kingdom of God, and he wants us to be holy. And so he says to us in the scripture, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and I'll receive you, and I'll be your God, and you'll be my children. You'll be my sons, you'll be my daughters, I'll be your father. That's what he wants us to do, is come out of the world and stay clean. He brings us into his kingdom, and so when we do something wrong in his kingdom, woodshed, up to the woodshed, and we get chastened, we get corrected, and then back into fellowship. Praise the Lord. See, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Praise the Lord. So that word means to set apart as holy, as in 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, which is light, 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 marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. Praise the Lord. Okay, so Jesus is the sanctifier, and we are the sanctified. Sanctified means set apart as holy, separate from the world. That's us. He sanctified us. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. Have you ever, I'm sure you have, turn again to Luke 3 and let's do what you've done before again. Luke chapter 3, where the genealogy of Jesus is given. Beginning at verse 23. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli, which was the son of, the son of, the son of, the son of, all the way down to verse 38, the last verse of chapter 3 in Luke, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Jesus was born of the flesh after the same one we were born of the flesh, Adam. We came from Adam. Jesus came from Adam. It says so right there in Luke chapter 3. And Jesus, being 30 years as was supposed, and so on, the son of Adam, which was the son of God. So what this verse here means, he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one, means that Jesus entered the human family through the offspring of Adam. Jesus came out of a womb, just like I did, just like you did. A human mother's womb. He was born of the flesh. Who, according to the flesh, came. It talks about being of the flesh of Abraham, being of the flesh of David in the Holy Scriptures. And here it talks about Adam. Jesus' genealogy goes all the way back to Adam. Did you get it?
Yes,
you did. Praise the Lord. So Jesus is the Son of Man. And he talks about himself in the scriptures. I think somebody said in the New Testament over 60 or 70 times he addresses himself as the Son of Man. The Son of Man goeth, as it is written of him. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. The Son of Man, the Son of Man, the Son of Man. I don't know if he ever referred to himself as the Son of God. He did before that mock trial. Very seldom. Maybe 1, 2, 3 times did he ever call himself the Son of God. Although he was the Son of God, we know that. But we oneness people sometimes forget that while Jesus was God, while he was deity, while he was divine, we forget that he was human, that he was man, that he was flesh. And that he set all of that glory aside to become one of us. And that's exactly what he did. This is, to me, the heart of the gospel, the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Now, he's the Son of God. You know, you and I are sons of Adam, and you and I are sons of God. But you know, to be born of the Spirit, you and I had to be born again. Jesus was born of the Spirit. I think it's Luke 1:35. I don't have it here, but it tells about the Holy Ghost hovering over Mary. And that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. He was born of the Holy Ghost. When he was born of the flesh, he was born of the Spirit at the same time. No question about it. It's right there in the Scriptures. You and I, to become his brother, you know, we talk about brothers in Christ, we have to be born again. Jesus didn't have to be born again. Amen. He was born of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. We have to be born again to be born of the Spirit. So both Jesus and believers are born of the Spirit. Both Jesus and believers trace their genealogies back to Adam. Amen. But the primary thought here is not our new birth and becoming like him. In here, the primary thought is not our ascension. The primary thought here is his condescension. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. So that's the primary thought in this passage of scriptures. Praise the Lord. Then it goes on and says, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Though he was so great, he was unashamed to identify himself with us. And that's what he did. He identified himself with us. Though he was so great, he was not ashamed to be like us. He is not ashamed to call them what? Brethren. Brethren. I've got a brother. Hallelujah. You thought Jesus was my father? He's my brother. Amen. Let me say something right here. Don't limit Jesus to being one thing. He's my father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything to me. We know that he's David's father, and we know that he's David's son. Can't he be my father and my brother? He entered the human race, and he became my brother. I have a brother. Douglas Stanberg. And sometimes, you know, we go off and play together, do some things, and what's Dad going to say when he comes home? Is Dad going to be upset about this or what? Well, when you look at Jesus as your brother, you're in this thing together. He does not partake of sin with us. He does not make mistakes with us. He does not do wrong with us. But he's our brother. And he understands us. Because he took on humanity. He became a man just like you and I are. And he understands our case. And he cares for us. We can go to him as our brother. He was tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin. Oh, it's great to have a brother like Jesus. Say, brother, will you go to the Father with me? That's exactly what he does, too, and he pleads our case. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Hallelujah. Don't let the natural mind confuse the spiritual truth. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2:5. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Just the opposite of what men are trying to do today, and I fight that. Men are trying to make a reputation for themselves all the time. Read it in the newspaper. Great man. Great preachers. Great this. Great that. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Hallelujah. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Praise the Lord. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Now that's his natural brothers. Mary, contrary to the Catholic doctrine, the Catholic Church doctrine, had other children beside Jesus. That's plainly, clearly laid out in the Scriptures. While he had talked to the people, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. The same is my brother. Praise the Lord. He entered the human race, became my brother, your brother. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 9 and 10. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my inferiors. Although we are inferior. That's not what he said. Go tell my servants. No, that's not what he said. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. He's our brother. John chapter 20. I think this is so tender of Jesus. John chapter 20, verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou had borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father. All of one. Got it? He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. Not only Adam, but God. Amen. They who are sanctified are all of one. Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and unto your Father. I ascend unto my Father and to my God and your God. Are you ready for some shocks? Hallelujah. He is not ashamed to call them brethren. He's not ashamed of us, not because we ascended. The reason he's not ashamed of us is not because we ascended. The reason he's not ashamed of us is because he condescended. That's why he's not ashamed of us. That's what it's talking about here. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Praise the Lord. Two things in here are very difficult for me to understand. One is, when it says he's not ashamed to be called my brother, I wonder how I ever could have been ashamed of him. Difficult for me to understand. After what he did, after what he suffered, after what he went through, for me, I'm ashamed of him? God have mercy on me. I should never be ashamed of him. That should be totally, absolutely out of the question. Shouldn't even be in our vocabulary. Shouldn't even be in our thoughts that we could be ashamed of him. And he talks about that in Mark chapter 8, verse 38. He says, it's the last verse of Mark 8. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Amen. I would think Jesus should be ashamed of me, really. I remember one time at work, a salesman came in, and we struck up a conversation. He was from Rice Lake, Barron, up in there, and I had relatives up there. I said, oh, do you know, and I gave the name of one of my first cousins, who was a 6'5", 250-pound cop. I think he was the sheriff. And this fellow got kind of red in the face. He said, yeah, I know. He swore. He said, I know that blankety blank. I didn't get mad and say, that's my cousin you're talking about. So I went to another town. I said, do you know so-and-so? He said, yeah, he's the guy that died an alcoholic, didn't he? Drunk or whatever. You know. Well, he didn't die yet, but he's the town drunk, isn't he? I said, yeah. Those are my cousins. I wonder if Jesus didn't have some accusations like that. Yet he said, you don't know what I'm going to do for them. You don't know how I'm going to do for them. I'm going to die for them, and they're going to be sanctified. They're going to be changed. And while I became like them, they're going to become like me. Because I became like them so they could have opportunity to become like me. Praise the Lord. He's going to change this vile body to be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. No, he's not ashamed of us. Not because we ascended, we became like him, but because he became like us to make us like him. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. And so I say it's difficult for me to understand how I could ever be ashamed of him, and it's difficult for me to understand why he's not ashamed of me. But he will be in that day, according to Mark 8:38, if we are ashamed of him in this life. Praise the Lord. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. So that's what he sees, like I just said. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Hanging from the cross, he surveyed his kingdom. Hanging from the cross, he looked down the future history. He looked down the annals of time. He saw you and he saw me. He saw us at this altar. He saw us in the baptismal tank. He saw us talking in tongues. He saw us hearing the word of God. He watched us as his power changed us to become like him. Praise the Lord. We know one thing for sure. God is not ashamed of Jesus. God is not ashamed of Jesus. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And Ephesians 1:6 says, we are accepted in that beloved, in the beloved Son of God. We're not accepted on our own merits. We're not going to enter heaven. We're not going to gain passage into that place. because of our own goodness or holiness or merits. No, it's going to be because of Jesus and Jesus only.
That's it.
It's all dependent on Him. And thank God we got the record. He was victorious in purchasing our salvation. Hallelujah! Makes me want to shout. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is our Father because Jesus claimed us as His brothers. Woo! Did you get that? God is our Father because Jesus claimed us as His brother. Jesus claimed me as His brother. God became my Father. I ascend to my Father and your Father. My God and your God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now listen to this. Let me say that again. God is our Father because Jesus claimed us as His brother. Proof? But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. The sons of one Father are brothers. Right? Hallelujah, hallelujah. So God is our Father because Jesus claimed us as His brother. He gave us power. He gave us authority to become the sons of God. Just think of it. Jesus is our brother. He entered the human family through birth. He came out of a woman's womb, just like we did. So we are all of one. Hallelujah. Verse 12. Verse 11. He that sanctifieth, they who are sanctified, are all of one. One Adam and one last Adam. One first man, one second man. One head of a race, one head of another race. Adam headed one race, the human family. Jesus Christ came into the human family and headed the spiritual race. He's the spiritual head of the spiritual race. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. That's why He's not ashamed to call us brethren. Say, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Now this quotation is taken from Psalm 22, verse 22. From Psalms I read, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Now, this prophetic utterance was fulfilled by the incarnation. You know what I mean by incarnation? Jesus became flesh. He became man. Amen. He became one of us. Jesus concluded His prayer to His Father with these words in John 17, 26. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare. Now, when Jesus talks to the Father and says, I will declare unto my brethren your name, what does He mean by that? If somebody said, who can we choose here? Henry. We have one Henry in this church. If somebody said to you, do you know where Henry is? Would you think of H-E-N-R-Y? I think E comes before N and R before Y. Let's see. Do I have Henry straight in my mind? Or do you think about that handsome middle-aged man over there? What comes to your mind when you hear the name Henry? You think of the person. You don't think of the spelling. You don't think of the word. You think of the person. Okay? I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Woo! Jesus declared the flesh of God, the person of God to His brethren. That's what He came to do. He that has seen me hath seen God. He that has seen me hath seen the Father. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I have declared unto them thy name and will declare that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. John 5:43. I am come in my Father's name and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye shall receive. No. he declared unto his brethren the name of God. Jesus is the name of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Matthew 1, 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he, not for J-E-S-U-S, not for those letters, not for the word, not for the name. No, not that way. He shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he, for he shall save his people from their sins. They didn't hang four letters from an alphabet on the cross. They hung a man on the cross. When you say Calvary, you think of a man hanging there. You don't picture J nailed here, E nailed here, S nailed here, U here, something like that. No, you think of a man, a person. Praise the Lord. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Who is Jesus? God. Who is Jesus? God in flesh. Who is Jesus? God in flesh with us. God entered into the human family and walked the earth that he created. Puffed for breath, walking the mountains that he made. Got thirsty for the water that he spoke into existence. Hallelujah. I will declare thy name. It became him. That's his nature. To love and to do what he did because he loved us. Hallelujah. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth a firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Isaiah 9:6, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name. Who's this? This is that baby that was born at Bethlehem. His name shall be called Wonderful. Counselor. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. Who is Jesus? He is God and he is man. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. Luke 10:21-22. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father. Now this is Jesus talking. He's praying. And he says, I thank thee, O Father. That shouldn't confuse oneness people. That should make oneness people more wonderfully oneness than ever. You know what the problem is with a lot of oneness people is? Their natural mind can only go so far. And then it conks out. And they can't leave it and enter into the spiritual world and understand that God is greater than the natural mind. He's bigger than what we can think. He can do things we can't do. Praise the Lord. That's the thing that's up their mouths forever. Well, think of Messiah. Whose son is he? He's David's son. Well, how come then? How come then? What he really said was, how could he be David's son and be David's father at the same time? No man durst ask him any more questions from that time forward. Because we can't figure that out because our natural minds give up at a certain point. But the spiritual, praise the Lord. Oh, let's enter into that spiritual realm. Give our natural minds a rest. Give your natural mind a rest. Get into the Spirit. Praise the Lord. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father. You have to remember that for 33 and a half years, this is exactly how it was. He humbled himself. He became a man just like us. He prayed just like we do. He called on God just like we do. He needed help just like we do. And we can read that in Psalm 22. Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. And then he said, all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and no man knoweth who the Father is
but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. So unless it's revealed to you by the Son of God, you'll never know who the Father is. Because Jesus said, oh, you want to see the Father? Take a look. He that has seen me has seen the Father. Praise the Lord. That'll stretch your natural mind. John 1:18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. It's all his to give. Open your heart. Receive him. He'll give you power. Praise the Lord. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. That's from Psalm 22:22 also. And the writer of the book of Hebrews is presenting scriptures that show Jesus' oneness with mankind. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Jesus was raised in church. Folks took him to church. He went to church. It's good to take your children to church. It's good to go to church. Jesus said, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Luke 4:16, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his habit was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up for to read. And of course they delivered him the book of Isaiah 61, and he started reading those pages to them, or those words to them. Now our text says that Jesus sang praises. Well, who would he sing praises to? He's Almighty God himself. Did he sing praises to himself? That's just like those people that said when he prayed, my God, why has thou forsaken me? Was he a ventriloquist? Was he throwing his voice? And I've heard oneness preachers say that. That was their only solution to that enigma. That's not the solution to the puzzle. No, no, no. The solution is that God became man. That Jesus Christ was in the flesh for 33 and a half years. Who in the days of his flesh, Hebrews 5 tells us. Amen. And during those 33 and a half years, he talked to God just like we do. He leaned on God just like we do. He prayed to God just like we do. He worshiped God just like we do. He sang praises to God just like we do. Don't misunderstand the Godhead. It's marvelous. It's mighty. It's wonderful. Praise the Lord. But you got to hear me last Sunday, and you got to hear me next Sunday if you're going to understand this Sunday. I have much more to say. I can hardly wait till next Sunday to say it because I'm running out of time this morning. But anyway, Matthew, did Jesus ever sing praises? Listen to Matthew 26:30. Jesus with his brethren, it says, and when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. They tell us that they probably sang Psalm 113, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18, right in there. When they had sung in him, Jesus sang in him. You can read Psalm 113 through 118. See what you think. But Jesus sang praises unto God in church right along with the people. Sat right out in the pew and sang praises to God. Jesus was a man just like us. No difference between him and us except for one thing. We have sinned. He never once sinned. Amen. Turn to Mark chapter 6 for a minute. Don't you love him? Amen. Praise the Lord. Think of what he did for us, for our salvation. When we think of Jesus, you know, we think of the resurrected Christ. But what do we think of when we think of Jesus during his days on earth? Okay? When we think of Jesus, we might think of halos and a glowing face and so forth. But just listen to Mark 6. And Jesus went out from thence, and Jesus came into his own country, and his disciples followed Jesus. And when the Sabbath day was come, Jesus began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing Jesus were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? They didn't